Our next guest on Downtown is a businesswoman, a former model, and the author of a number of books, including The Persian Room Presents, Playboy Swings, and her newest, Playboy Laughs, the comedy, comedians, and cartoons of Playboy. Patty Farmer, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join you, Rich. There's nothing I like doing more than talking about Playboy and the funny guys.
Well, it's such a wonderful history, and it really is a history of modern comedy. And for anybody who's not aware, Hugh Hefner certainly has played a huge role in shaping what we think of as comedy in the last half century.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Rich, it's funny to me because so many people, you say Playboy, and their eyes kind of, you know, get a wicked glint, and they think about centerfolds and bunnies exclusively. But Playboy's been around since 1954, and nobody has written a book or really talked about the great entertainment, mainly the comedians, that Hefner showcased, both on the Playboy clubs or in the Playboy clubs and on his TV shows. He had a comedian for an MC at the Playboy Jazz Festival, one whose name we don't like to mention right now, but the other was Mort Saul, and now Mario Lopez. So comedy was had a big place in Hef's heart.
So many remarkable people involved in this book, and one of my favorites, who just passed away not too long ago, Professor Irwin Corey, certainly one of the most unique people in the history of comedy.
Oh my gosh, Rich. Irwin was the most interesting person in the world. You're right, he just passed at 102, and just between you and me and probably your million listeners, I have to tell you a quick story. He was so much fun that even after I had interviewed him for the book, I would go and visit him just because he was a fountain of information. And at 102, he still read everything he could get his hands on and could converse, you know, very intelligently about it. So I'd go visit him. And up until about a month or two before he passed, I still had to tell him to watch his hands. I said, Irwin, watch those hands there. So he was still fresh to the end.
I was especially taken with the story of Dick Gregory, who says quite bluntly that he would not have made it in comedy had it not been for Hugh Hefner. And the incredible story that you relate in the book about his wife essentially heckling him with racist slurs to prepare him for what he might face.
Right. You probably found that as shocking as I did when Dick was telling me about it. And it really kind of, it would have prepared him for the political scene nowadays because we have such terrible heckling and arguing going on. But, you know, down in the 50s, we didn't really think about it being a place like that. But yes, his wife would throw every kind of a racial insult she could at him just so he would be prepared and it wouldn't catch him off guard. And he would, you know, either be able to make light of it or come back with a snappy retort of his own.
And of course, in the Playboy club circuit, few have made as big an impact in comedy as a couple of the regulars, Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
Yes. Absolutely. But, you know, they're not the only ones. They both did, absolutely, were big parts of Playboy. George Carlin started out there, and he played there until he really became a headliner and kind of tweaked his act a little bit more towards the shocking. And Hefner, for being the creator of Playboy, really did want to keep it clean. So he actually had to tell George, you know, George, you're my friend and I love you and you make me laugh until I cry, but I can't have you in front of my Playboy audiences anymore because you're too over the top.
We're talking with Patty Farmer. The book is entitled Playboy Laughs, and you along the way have interviewed so many greats and so many who are not with us anymore, from Professor Irwin Corey to Joan Rivers, David Brenner, and on and on. And to me, that makes this book even more valuable as a historical document recording some of the most important people in comedy in the 20th century.
Thank you for saying that, and that's that's really what I feel my job is, you know, as a historian, getting these stories, because, you know, we have general histories, but to actually sit down and get all these nuggets of both comedy or what it was like back in the 50s and 60s when we still had a segregated country, to be able to get these stories, it's I think it's important to our history.
And of course, you've also spoken along the way with some of the people whose comedy was found in the pages of the magazine, and those were the remarkably talented cartoonists from Shel Silverstein to Al Jaffe, Jules Feiffer. I love the story of how Jules Feiffer perhaps may have been inspired to write Carnal Knowledge from what he witnessed at the mansion.
I knew you were going to say that. And you know, this was the most fun for me, because going into the project, I really didn't know that much about the cartoons. So it involved putting together a great team of researchers, and we did in-depth research on the folks that are no longer with us, and then also the ones that were here. But to be able to sit down with people like Jules, who did, he point blank said he got most of his ideas for Carnal Knowledge from hanging around the Chicago Playboy Club, to people like Al Jaffe at 96, he is still working. I mean, what an example is he? He's still working, doing the fold-ins at Mad Magazine. And it was mind-blowing. It was such an education to me, and I think my readers will find the same thing. Even those that think they really know the cartoonists, there are some great, great stories, how they began, how important Playboy was to them, and how cartooning, you know, was so important back in the day. And you probably know, but Hugh Hefner, before he ever dreamed of publishing a gentleman's magazine, wanted to be a comic book writer.
Right. And actually had a comic book published.
Yes, a full-page, 74-page comic book. Had quite the title. It was called, and I might get this wrong, That Toddlin' Town, Rowdy Burlesque of Chicago Manners and Morals. And it was quite funny. I've had the opportunity to read through it. And he was good, but just not good enough to compete with all the folks that were around during that time.
So, Patty, this book is the second book in what eventually is going to be a trilogy. Can you tell us a little bit, a preview of the third in the series?
The next one is going to be Playboy Thinks. And, you know, everybody would tell their wives and sweethearts, you know, I only read it for the articles. And that probably wasn't true, or at least stretching the truth. But there were some amazing writers that wrote for Playboy, and Playboy Thinks will be about that. You know, people like Ian Fleming, who wrote short stories for Playboy magazine before they were picked up to become the big mega hit movies, James Bond. So he had a great influence on Hefner, too. Ian Fleming and Hef had a reciprocal love fest, I guess. You know, Ian had James Bond in one of his movies, in Diamonds Are Forever, I think it was. You know, James Bond pulls out his wallet, and right next to his license to kill is a Playboy Club card. So.
Well, we have a special affinity because there was so much great fiction published in Playboy, including that of the owner of our station, Stephen King.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I didn't realize that.
So as we look back, really, you mentioned the magazine started in the early 1950s, and for those six-plus decades, forget what Playboy did for publishing, which was remarkable as well, and how it helped to change America's mores. But really, it's been a cultural barometer ever since that time in so many different areas of the arts. And that's a story that people might not understand fully if it had not been for your work.
Well, thank you again there. But, you know, we don't have enough time to go into every little nuance that Hef influenced. But you're absolutely right. There was a lot there. He gets criticized for being a chauvinist by the you know, the women's groups, but actually he showcased women before it was popular, and he championed women's rights before anybody else did. He had female comics such as Joan Rivers, who we mentioned, and Lily Tomlin and Mimi Hines, Phyllis Diller, when female comics just really were not put out there, and have took chances and put them out. And when I talked to Joan Rivers before she passed, way too early, I think, but she told me, she said, you know, Playboy gave her a venue to get good. You know, she started out as part of a trio, and many
That's
people
right.
don't know that. And then she stayed with Playboy all the way along until she became a headliner and then headlined at Playboy. So there were so many different ways that Hefner and Playboy really influenced our culture.
Patty, was there one out of all these great conversations you had, was there one that perhaps was the most memorable for you in putting the book together?
You know, Rich, I really can't pick one. They were all so fabulous. I tried not to be awestruck, as I would sit there and stare into Shecky Green's eyes and listen to his stories, or Rich Little, or, you know, sit in Irwin Corey's living room. They were all so great and so unique, and Joan Rivers, for sure, was one. Unfortunately, Lenny Bruce, I didn't have the opportunity to talk to him directly, but I spoke to a lot of people that knew him very well, and I just found his story, you know, very impactful. You know, Hefner really tried to save Lenny, almost save Lenny from himself, unsuccessfully. But it's a great story.
Well, it's a wonderful book as well. It's a really terrific, entertaining, but also informative history of modern American comedy. Playboy Laughs, the comedy, comedians, and cartoons of Playboy. Patty Farmer, it's been a delight. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Rich.